All right, welcome back. Well, welcome back to Yishai. Welcome to our new members. We're going to have Noah back next week. It'll be very, very exciting, although we'll see with lockdown if I'll ever be allowed to leave my home again. But
we got to get Matt Bernstein back.
We got to get, yeah, it's not the same without Matan Avner. All right, this shmooz is dedicated for Fuah Shlema for my friend's sister who's recovering from cancer, Shipra Bas Miriam. The last 6 months, even when I yell in my recordings, I'm still always been in the same location on my couch with my feet up or my feet across with the air conditioner blasted, which when you're not in a, you know, in a penalty box, the air conditioner is working a lot more smoothly. It's incredible. It's incredible to be back. Who thought that day would happen? Really, who thought that day would happen? I was thinking on Friday night at Maariv, Yishai Dav Maariv, Yishai's got a minion streak going on. He thinks I'm taking him out to Papagayas. It crossed my mind that on Friday night, that's the last Maariv for Friday night of the year. And what does that mean? And then Shabbos day was the last chakras for Shabbos chakras. And Mincha and Vechule Vechule until we get the next Friday, Erev Rosh Hashanah and Mincha. Everyone is the last one. So I started to think that, wow, Rosh Hashanah is really close. And although these last 6 months have probably felt slower than other 6 months spans of your life, I'm sure the 2 months in Bidud were not, as much as they tried to say, oh, it goes by quickly, it was probably two of the longest weeks of your life when you were, you know, stuck to a three-room complex or whatever. I'm sure you should have kept you good company. Whatever exactly your rooming and living arrangements are here in Leva Torah.
You got a porch.
You got a porch. Uh-huh. Always seeing the positive. I also have a porch. It's been a long journey. So we're getting to that point. We're getting to Rosh Hashanah's right around the corner. And as we're living through these days, as we're living right now through this week, the idea that keeps coming to my head is that we have to give our very best, and that one little thing can make the biggest difference. I heard a story yesterday. There was a 15-year-old boy, you may have heard of him, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. At that point, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is known for being the head of the Musar movement. It's like when Mordechai is going to give Musar to Shana Aleph guys, the only reason that came into existence was because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter established the Musar movement in all the Litvish yeshivas and Hasidic yeshivas. So how did it come upon? When he was 15 years old, you know, and you guys are 15 years old, maybe you were doing this also, I don't know. He was following the Rav around town, and he was like trying to see what the Rav was doing, and like there was like a little crack. He like slipped on like something. The Rav heard him like, "What are you doing? Go learn Musar!" Now at that time, Yisrael Salanter wasn't like us that we were 15 when we were involved in sports and girls and all Bittul Torah. He knew Shas and Poskim by heart at that point, but he never thought of the idea of learning Musar. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, Taka, the Rav told me I have to learn Musar because I'm a little nosy. I like to know what's going on around the whole world. And he gave me a little chizik, and I went and learned Musar, and Musar movements made their way into the yeshiva. And if you think about, you know, especially if you take a place like Leva Torah, we might not have, even though we're having siyums on Gemara, Gemara might not be the desire of the average Talmud. It might be a little more exciting to learn Musar or to have random psukim opened up in Chumash for us, and we have no idea what it had to do with anything. But Yishai learned that his whole life was around those few psukim. You know, we don't really know, because that's what Musar is all about. You know, it evolved. And it's all because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It's all because of Yisrael Salanter. One day, he followed around the Rav, and he decided it was time to start the Musar movement. One little thing. So you might be saying, "Hey, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I'm not Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. You know, I'm just the average Shana Bet guy in Leva Torah or Leva Chayal. You know, what am I going to do?" So I heard this story 15 years ago. The story probably changed my life. One of the most impactful, we're going to say a bunch of stories, one of the most impactful stories I ever heard in my entire life about just one little thing, what it can do. There was a, now this might be more relatable. There was this guy who was in high school. He did not know Shas and Poskim. He was like your average guy in high school. He liked to play sports. He liked to hang out with the girls. You know, he liked to have a good time. And when he was in 12th grade MTA, he was in Rosh Schiller Shir. I mean, if you want to see Rosh Schiller, you can Google image for Meir Schiller. I guess imagine like from Mordechai in just, a bigger version. He's like from Mordechai, a big chassid. He would wear tzitzis over his jacket. A very intense Baal Tshuva. He was a coach of the hockey team. And he kept telling the guys the whole year, these weren't guys you were confusing for learning in the Mir Yeshiva, these MTA hockey guys. He was telling them in the 90s, no less, or 80s. He was telling them, all of you have potential. You can all make a big difference. You can all change your life. So this guy, every day, he was so inspired by that. So inspired that he decided to apply to Morashah, where he got his whole life. And Morashah told him, we don't want you. We're going in a new direction. You're not exactly what we're looking for. We don't want you to come here. Keep going to 12th grade. Or Shana'av. He just finished 12th grade. He's like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to Morashah. I'm a Morashah guy. Like, I wear Morashah. My girlfriend's going to Morashah. Like, what am I going to do with my summer? But, you know, it was before COVID. The idea of staying home for the summer in the 80s was neither acceptable by a person. And certainly your parents were going to do anything in their power to ship you out. You know, they deal with you 10 months a year. That's their freedom for 2 months. So his father had a little bit of influence in the Jewish community. He got him into Hask. It's not so simple to get into Hask as a boy before Shana Aleph. But he was going to Hask, and he was dealing with the kid all summer. This kid would not smile the entire summer. Imagine we didn't see Mordechai smile. You can't go a minute without seeing Mordechai smile. But man, this kid, a whole summer, he never let out a smile. And this person said, my Rebbe, Rav Shiller, said, I can change. I can make an impact. I'm going to make this kid smile. His entire task, all summer long. You know, the guys who come back from Hask after Shana'av, you know, they didn't have Leva Torah back then, but then the Tevariyeh guys, and I guess BMT before, you know, Shalavina, whatever the guys were. They were all serious guys. And then this guy said, you know, I'm going to be here. And he started being part of the program. He went to davening, and he didn't take his off day. He told his girlfriend, Morashah, you know, we're through. I can't be with you. You're not helping me in my avoda of getting this kid to smile. He stopped taking off time. His entire life task was to get this kid to smile. Parents came to visit middle of the year. Kids still didn't smile. It's like, what am I going to do? He's like, okay, I got to try harder. If I can't finish Makos, we go to Talmud. You know, we don't just give up and say, Makos, my arch nemesis, I'm not going to do it. You find something else. All day, all night, working on the kid. Before you know, this kid who was like, you know, this tough MTA guy, is all of a sudden, he's learning, he's davening, but he couldn't get the kid to smile. The last day of the year, like, I'm going to get him to smile. He still didn't smile. He comes back to the dorm room, all dejected. And he says, my Rebbe was wrong. I have no potential. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go to Israel for the year, but I'm going to party. I'm going to spend a lot of time in Ben Yehuda. I'm going to see what kind of narcotics or whatever can enter into my system and still survive. How much alcohol I could possibly have. You know, back then it may have been a little different. You know, alcohol in the dorms wasn't as vibrant. He actually left the yeshiva to have alcohol. You know, things have changed. It may have been Yavin. He's like, that's what I'm going to do. And then another Hask guy, if you get nothing else of the whole year, get this line in your head. Another kid from Hask tells this person, it wasn't your job to make him smile and to change. It was his job to change you. He's like, Taka, I changed. I really changed. And that man today is Rav Dani Marcus, one of the Marcus brothers in Reshit, who in the last 25 years has influenced thousands amongst thousands of Talmidim, who was changed by a Hask kid. One little task, get a kid to smile. One little thing. And now thousands of people today can say, my life has changed because of that Hask kid who didn't even smile. But it didn't matter. It wasn't his job. It was his job to have a little bit of a melus. Got a smile. Every year before Rosh Hashanah, this girl my wife went to seminary with, she used to put together a video for Nisada Tokif about what happened that year. It's always good to have chazara of what happened during the year. And I'm not the most current event person, but you know, she generally speaking put like major current event topics. So I would know. I didn't necessarily know, you know, a lion had eaten someone somewhere in Africa, but generally speaking, I knew what was happening. I don't know if she still puts those together, but certainly, we don't need any video for this year. We know what's happened this year. Never in our life before, and I guess none of you even lived 9/11, but even if you lived 9/11, never in our lives before has there been something that has been so clear. We know what happened. We don't need that video. We don't need that video, right, Mordechai? We know what we need to do this year in Rosh Hashanah. We know. It's very, very clear. It's very clear that sleeping in this year in Rosh Hashanah is not the avodah. The only avodah is pouring out our heart this year in Rosh Hashanah because we've seen what has happened. We've seen what's happened. And it all starts with one moment. Reminds me of another story. There was this boy. You may have heard of this story. It's a famous story. He was... Now we'll go back. Now we're no longer in high school. Now we're going to 11-year-olds. This boy was 11 years old. He was like every other 11-year-old. You know, they like to play. He liked to play. He liked to play in the mud. My mom used to ask me like every Shabbos. I was like 10. Why is your suit all muddy? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, why am I wearing a suit? That was really the answer to the question. Like, I don't know, because I'm 10. Like, I like to play. I don't know. You're trying to dive to make a catch in football, and you know, you roll into like, you know, 2 inches worth of rain in New York. That's why my suit's all muddy. Let me wear, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, and then it won't be so muddy. It's why he liked to play. He liked to play. That was his, you know, nothing wrong with that. And one day, I guess, you know, earlier on in life, you know, it's a little different than what we grew up with. But at that point, they had to decide early on, did the kid have potential in learning or did he need to go into a craft? And when this boy was 11 years old, his parents were having a talk one night. Many of your parents may have had this talk last year, if he should go shut a bed. But when he was 11, they were having this talk, whether or not, should he go into learning or did he have to start becoming a carpenter or becoming a, you know, learning a craft? And he happened to, you know, I don't know what 11-year-old wakes up in like the middle of the night to go down and get a drink. It's not so common. I might dread the day when my 5-year-old does that, but I feel like the older you get, the less likely that is. He heard his parents having a schmooze. He heard his parents talking. And he said, and they said, we're going to have to send him out to craft. He's not going to be able to see him. He's like, no, I'm done. I'm ready. I'm ready to be serious. And he became serious, and that person became the Netziv. And the Netziv said at the last siyum of his life before he died, you know what would have happened? I would have gone up to Shemayim and Hashem would have asked me, where's my Emek HaDavar? And he would have asked me, where all my Svarim are? All my Svarim? I'm a carpenter. I build Svarim shells. That guy, the big rabbi who has all the Svarim, it's because of me. I don't write Svarim. Maybe I do Shnayim Mikra. Maybe I learn a little Halacha, but what do? I don't write Svarim. One little thing, he heard his parents talking. One little thing, it got him to change his whole life, his whole complexion on life. One little thing. I don't know if you guys delved into Netflix so much during this Tekupa. I remember what I'm talking to Sammy Joseph very early on, before Pesach even. And I told him, you know, you want to watch a movie every day. He tried to tell me differently that people could watch like 5 movies a day. I wasn't so macabre that. I get it, you can watch like 8 hours of a TV show, but to just watch different movies, and I watched some of the sets of movies also this time, but to watch every day would have been very, very difficult. But he told me people can do that. I don't know, can you guys do that? Benji's got like 11 minutes a day of screen time, so he's not doing much of anything besides Gemara, Rashi, and Tosas. But one of these movies I watched, Facing the Giants, something like that. It wasn't a great movie. I happened to watch it twice even, because my wife wanted to watch it also, and we happened to watch it. It wasn't a great movie, but it had one scene which was incredible. And as they say with every sports movie, if there's not a scene that sticks out in your head, they did something very, very wrong, because a sports movie is only created for inspiration. So if nothing from that sticks out, what are you doing? Like, what's possibly going on? It would almost be like the Purim suit at the Cannes. If I didn't have Kobe's speech right before I left, like literally sitting in my face, him standing up, I thought he was going to jump off the balcony. I thought maybe he had a little too much to drink, but Baruch Hashem, he didn't. But, you know, something has to stick out. Like, it's almost like a sports movie. If you don't have a scene that sticks out, what's it going to be? But basically, if you didn't see this movie, I'll give you basically the whole movie in like 3 minutes. This team had the coach the year before. They were a mediocre team. They were going to fire the coach. He somehow, it's a high school football team, he somehow kept his job. And the next year, they get off to a terrible start. They're 0-3. And their best player is basically saying, before the next game, we're going to lose. And their coach makes them do this death crawl, which is essentially when you have to crawl a far distance like this, using your arms. You can't use your hands while having someone on your back. Doesn't seem like such a fun thing. And to make it a little more fun for the player, He put a mask on the player so he couldn't see anything. It was before COVID. They were wearing masks.
That's known for
Leva Chayal. So it could be the same thing. It could be the same thing. Maybe Rav Noam also watches movies when he's out in Kol and Leva Chayal and learning and saving the world. Could be. He puts on the mask and he tells him, you got to go to the 50-yard line. And he tells him, give me your very best. Don't quit until you're done. Until you have nothing left, keep giving me your very, very best. And he goes, he's crawling. He's like, I can't do it, I'm so tired. Give me your very, very best. And he's yelling at him the whole time, going on and on and on. And he's like dying from here. And he can't do that. Like, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Believe in yourself. Give me your very, very best. He's like, 10 more steps, 5 more steps. And ultimately, he does it. He's like, did I get to the 50? and he went from end zone to end zone. He went 100 yards. He did the entire football field when he thought he couldn't do it, because he gave his very, very best. And at that point, you know, it hit me when I was watching that for the second time, which was at some point after Tisha B'Av a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little before Tisha B'Av, some point after with my wife, it really hit me. That's what this year's Rosh Hashanah has to be. It always has to be that way, but never before have we felt, are we dealing with such an inner, you know, it's an inner Gehenna that has no end in sight and really does affect our lives. And I said, what's kind of crazy about COVID is, if we were to have missiles being dropped in Ramat Beit Shemesh, I'm not even saying down south, if missiles were being dropped on Ein Gedi, it would probably be affecting our lives less than this is affecting us. Now, I'd be pretty scared if a missile was coming near me. Now, if you told me a missile was coming to my parking lot, I'd be pretty scared. Yet somehow I really do believe that my life would be affected less. I'd be living my day-to-day life in a more normal case. Now, I coughed on Shabbos. If I cough, I wouldn't think that maybe my entire family is about to get a virus. And I would be like, okay, whatever. I'm going to live my life. Be smart. You know, it's like lightning. Like, you don't stand out when there's lightning and you'll be okay. Yet somehow this is affecting you more. And that's what it hit me, that on this year, on Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is less than a week away, and in order to have a successful Rosh Hashanah, it starts now. You have a lot of time in your hands, or maybe not as much as you think, but you definitely have a lot of time in your hands. It behooves every one of us to look through the machzor, to look through the siddur, know what we're saying, to do every preparation. I have no idea what time they start davening again on Rosh Hashanah. We'll just say 7:30 for argument's sake. We'll say 8 if that'll make you feel better, but whatever it is, to have whatever we have to do to make sure that we're going to be here on time on Rosh Hashanah, even early. It's not the worst thing. No one's ever died from being in shul early. It's not going to kill us. But to give our very best, to do everything in our power, that we literally have no strength left, like that God is going to have no strength left when it gets eradicated, or whatever exactly is going on out there. I know there's some destroying and something going on out there. Tractors can be very distracting. That's why you need a room in a cave where no one can see anything. Baruch Hashem. But that's the avodah. That's the avodah, to give our very, very best, to leave nothing on the table. To at the end of Rosh Hashanah, be able to say, "I did my best," because Hashem, I recognize now, you control everything. Last year on Rosh Hashanah, what was I thinking about? I was thinking about the brisket. I was thinking about the potato kugel. I was thinking about the poppers. I was thinking about what meal I was going to. I was thinking about, well, the evening's a little long, or whatever it was, or I was thinking about what tune is the receiver of Kolos we're going to do next. Whatever was in my head, whatever was distracting me, whatever was taking me away from having my proper my proper kavanah. Maybe I was thinking when certain people were going to show up who were sitting right in front of me, and not taking the second day of Rosh Hashanah off. Again, I'm Eben Yavin. All right. Okay, he got it. Whatever it was that was distracting me, I didn't always sit behind you. I had to make my way after I realized the kedusha of you and Sammy with Rajik. I had to come back there. Whatever it was that was distracting us, but clearly, and the famous, everyone always asks, how was your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So everyone says different things, but I remember Yitzchak Cohen, Rosh Hashiva and Wayu, always saying, ask me on Erev Rosh Hashanah how my Rosh Hashanah was the previous year. Because I can't tell you. I thought last year's Rosh Hashanah was good. But evidently Hashem showed me, your Rosh Hashanah was good if your Rosh Hashanah is thinking about, like, if the crock pot's not going to overburn and the brisket's going to turn out okay. That's how you define a good Rosh Hashanah. Clearly, your priorities weren't in the right place. Any one of us, if we were asked right now, how was last year's Rosh Hashanah, the only answer was, it sucked. We did a terrible, terrible job. And not collectively, the whole world. We didn't show up. We didn't bring our best. We had whatever other focus we had. And it's hard. It's hard. But it was clearly shown. We have the ability to make things be good. And this year, heading into Rosh Hashanah, we need to bring our best. We need to tell Hashem, we're sorry. We're done. We did a bad job, but we're ready. We're ready. We get the message. We don't look at things in the proper way. We look at shul as a social gathering. We look at Torahs. Oh, is this going to improve my shidduch resume? And not, we're not doing it with shmo. We're not doing our acts with shmo. We're not doing it because that's what you want. We didn't bring our best. Our best is when we're doing something solely for our Tati up there, for our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And not because of any other ulterior motive. If our motive for why we show up on davening that we're Boaz or Tali, like, oh, I'm good. Maybe Shanaam will hear this more, but anyone can hear it. Oh, I'm good. I showed up. Look at me. I'm a good guy. That's automatically the words. I remember last year when I did the 1-2-3 meetings. And someone said, yeah, I know. I'm like, if you're showing up to avoid a 1-2-3 meeting, you're not going to do much in life. Like, that's not a good mahalach. It's not because, oh, Rabboz will get off my back. Who cares if Rabboz is on my back? In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make a difference. He's not why we have COVID. He's not why we have death in the world. He's not why we have cancer. He's not why we have poverty. Hashem is why we have all these things. And it's time we end them. And it's time to come Rosh Hashanah. We bring our very best. And we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're done. Everything we just said, one little step, perhaps the littlest of steps to get to the most successful Rosh Hashanah is we don't show up to Rosh Hashanah. Oh, what do I need now to happen? What am I now davening for? But we think for the upcoming week, you know, it's good. If this is on Thursday night, it'd be pretty bad. That'd be less than 24 hours. We got a week. We got a little less than a week, but that's a, you know, 2 weeks would be better, but a week is better than a day. It's a substantial amount of time to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, to begin preparing for Yom Kippur, and to think, what can I do to bring my best? What can I do to let this world be better, to tell Hashem, I get the message, you're in control of everything, and I'm ready for it to end, and I'm ready to put myself in positions where, you know, I'm able to be most successful. Now, I'm not such a touchy person, I'm not such a, you know, kumzitz and tish kind of person, but for those kind of people, this is killing them. Because their source and their makor of avodas Hashem has literally been taken from them. You know, for me, it's not. You know, it's not as much. You know, a lot of these Zoom shiurim it's just not convenient. But you know, it doesn't affect me if I can. You know, if davening is shorter, I'm not looking like, oh, Rosh Hashanah davening 2 hours plus to 5 hours. I wasn't one of those people ready to have a velus. I was doing jumping jacks. I was really excited about that. But for other people, it's really killing them, and we need to end that because. If a source of avodas Hashem is being taken away from people, that's a catastrophe. Any yid who can't serve Hashem in the best possible way is a catastrophe. And we're less than a week away from Rosh Hashanah, and the idea that needs to be in our head all week and spreading it to anyone you can is, give me your very best. Give Hashem your very best. This week, give your very best. And Rosh Hashanah, Seretz Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, give your very best. And what happens then is, you know, you don't all of a sudden finish Chagiga because you finished Chagiga. It's because you did a little today, a little the next day, a little the third day, and all of a sudden you look back, wow, I finished Chagiga. Corona wasn't so bad. We had family time, and we finished Chagiga. You also finished Chagiga.
Yes.
And everybody else. And these things all happen by taking it step by step. And it all took from being your best. If you had decided, Mordechai, I'm going to be lazy. I'm not learning today. You know, I'm going to see what's going on in Staten Island. I'm going to see what's going on the Netflix. You wouldn't have accomplished that. You gave your best. And now as a community, we need to give our best because we need to tell Hashem that we got the message loud and clear. And we understand Rosh Hashanah is not like some like cute, fun day. You know, it's all about dancing and singing. It's a time of real tefillah, of real power and real connections at Kadosh Baruch Hu, where we're really diving to Him and we're really pouring out our hearts. And we're saying, Hashem, I'm going to give you my best this year. I'm going to give you my best. It's not going to be mediocre. And when you're going to look back at me in the middle of Shvat, you know, it's not as cold in Ramat Beit Shemesh, but, you know, for those listening in New York and Canada, it's pretty cold. It's pretty cold in Shvat. And, you know, it's a lot easier, always easier to be besimcha in the summer than when it's like negative 40 Fahrenheit degrees. I don't know, Celsius, probably negative 8 million, whatever that is. It's always easier, but during that time, you're going to still be on fire because you're going to remember that on Rosh Hashanah, when I gave my best, I wasn't full of garbage. I wasn't saying, oh, now I'm for my best, you're getting corona. No, I gave you my best because that's who I am. That's who I have created. I created a new image of myself and the best version of myself, and it's going to allow me to have the best Shana Bet that I'm going to be able to have. And once you have the best Shana Bet, it's going to all translate into the army and into college and into building and creating a family. And you're going to look back. It all started now. It all started because my whole perspective in life, I walk around sometimes. You know, I don't mind feeling Ramat Beit Shemesh. I mean, anyway, I look different. You know, you wear a polo shirt in the Merkaz. So the second my shirt's not white, I look different. And they know I'm not a Leva Torah guy because I don't look like I'm 18. So anyway, I look a little different. But it's okay. Sometimes I need to yell out in the Americas, give me your very best. Because I need to remind myself that I need to give Hashem my very best. Because it's hard. It's hard to remember that. But live it. If you have to write it on your shirt, write it on your shirt. Whatever you have to do. But remember to do that. And Mirz Hashem, we should all be flying. And God willing, this won't be our only shmooze until, like, you know, Purim, that we're able to have in person. That the world should allow us to be able to be together. And everyone should have a Shana Tova, Ksiva Chasima Tova. All our tefillah should be answered, and Klal Yisrael and the world really, really needs us. You know, we're really all as one this year. You know, usually, okay, they're for the Jews, but, you know, Korea and Japan and Italy, the United States, Canada. Well, Canada seems like things are good, but whatever the case is, everyone's dealing with Corona in their own way. Like, it's not a Jewish thing. Like, oh, let's blow up the Jews. This is the whole. I mean, probably people will probably pin it that's the Jews' fault, but you know, that's liberals. What are you gonna do? But. That's for a separate time. That can't be recorded. That could probably get me kicked out of, like, yeshiva for anything I could say. But that's for a separate time. But we're all in this together. We're all in this together, and everyone should have a very, very good year and incredible Shana Bet. Kol Tov.